Good morning, a Thursday morning, back with Jim Kevlin, editor and publisher of Hometown Oneonta, the Freeman's Journal, and allotsego.com. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, David.
Well, you just told me we're going to talk today about something called the Green Book.
Until now, I don't think I've mentioned one of our major local institutions, the Cooperstown Graduate Program in Museum Studies. It's co-sponsored by SUNY Oneonta and the Fenimore Museum to train museum administrators. The CGP and Winter Tour in Delaware are considered the top two such schools in the country. Now, the CGP director, Gretchen Soren, gave a talk at the local Presbyterian church last Sunday on something no one had heard of about locally until recently, called the Green Book. The Green Book was a travel guide for black tourists published annually between 1936 and 1966. Dr. Soren had come across the Green Book when she was looking for a topic for her thesis, which was published in 2009 entitled Keep Going, African Americans on the Road in the Era of Jim Crow. The mid-30s to the mid-60s, of course, were pre-civil rights. Upwardly mobile black families, like other families, wanted to see the country, but traveling could be dicey. Many restaurants wouldn't serve blacks. Many hotels wouldn't accept them as patrons. If a family's car broke down, who would repair it? Even worse, travel could be dangerous. In parts of the country, welcome signs might identify towns and counties as Klan country. Some communities were what they call sundown towns, and blacks had to get out of town by dusk. Even so, the freedom of driving your own car, to many, was preferable to black-only seating on trains and buses. So many families bought cars, often big heavy ones, Buicks and Oldsmobiles, that they could sleep in if they had to. Now, to help people cope with all this, a New York City mailman, Victor Hugo Green, came up with the Green Book idea. It listed gas stations, hotels, resorts, restaurants, beauty parlors, anything a typical tourist would need. It was also helpful to salesmen, athletes, entertainers, and other blacks who needed to travel for a living. At first, Victor Green focused his book on the New York City area, but he encouraged readers to contribute tips and recommendations, and over time, the book came to cover the whole U.S., plus Canada, Mexico, and the Caribbean, and businesses catering to black travelers would buy ads. Over the years, the Green Book had imitators, but it continued to be the most successful, largely because it won the sponsorship of Esso, Standard Oil's gas stations, which always maintained a policy of non-discrimination. There's a news hook. Ken Burns' brother, Rick, has worked on the Civil War and other series, but Rick also does documentaries of his own. He's picked up the rights to Gretchen's thesis, and she's working with him in developing a documentary, Driving While Black, which is due to be aired on PBS in 2019. After LBJ signed the Civil Rights Act of 1964, a lot of discrimination was banned outright. And as Gretchen put it, why stay at a guest house if you can stay at a Hilton? The Green Book quickly went into decline, going out of business in 1966. Dr. Soren pointed out, even today, black families routinely talk to their kids about what to do if they're pulled over while driving. Hopefully, she told her audience, talking about this will be a catalyst for a civil and productive conversation.
What a fascinating story. Jim, as always, we thank you, and you can certainly listen to this again at WAMC.org.
Thank you, David.